Blog Talk Radio.
No more. Would anybody like to take these two places and be baptized this morning? I like water baptism. I believe in public confession of Jesus Christ. I don't believe in hiding my salvation. Anybody with me? Why don't you stand up and give these people a good hand clap this morning as they've been water baptized. They follow Jesus in water baptism. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come and get the first fruits and bring them in front of me. Thank you, Jesus. Did you enjoy bringing your gifts today? Did you enjoy that? I think that's good. Bring them and stand here, if you will. Bring them over here, if you will. Bring them here. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to lift them up, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift these first fruits to you. We lift it to you, Lord, because these are the gifts from your children that follow you. They have obeyed the commandment that you have of giving a tithe, a tenth of their increase, of whatever it might be, Lord. And I pray right now that you will fulfill the word in their lives, that the blessing and these first fruits will meet every need of both churches, both pastors and priests, Lord, that those blessings will meet the need. And then, Lord, you're going to pour out a blessing on the people that gave them to you. We pray this morning, Lord, that this is an act of worshiping you as the producer of what we have. You are the facilitator of it, Lord. You are the Jehovah Jireh. We bless these first fruits offering this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Gentlemen, you may take those in the back, if you will. Hallelujah. My wife has asked me to do something that's very strange, but she knows how powerful my prayers are. She asked me if I would pray over the food now, and it lasts for another hour. How many of you believe my prayer could last for another hour? Because what might happen, the altar service may go, and we may never end the altar service. And some of you may smell that chicken and cannot resist, and you may go and eat it. And we don't want you to eat unprayed for food. So I'm going to pray over the food, and I don't want anybody going back there and sneaking a bite before it's time, just because it's prayed over. Come on, give me a witness this morning. Father, I thank you for what's already happened in this church. I thank you, Lord, that we still have yet the Holy Spirit to fall on us. And we believe, Holy Spirit, you're doing a work in our hearts today. And Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus for the fellowship that we're going to have when this service is concluded, if it's ever concluded. And we're going to eat food, Lord, that you have provided and people have bought and prepared and cooked. And we bless the food and the fellowship today. We bless it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Is it my time now? No, it's not my time now.
Yeah. the least part of the heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Jesus after he had been crucified. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs shall follow
those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. Say it with me, cast out devils. In my name, they will speak new tongues. Say it with new tongues. In my name, they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I'm telling you, the same Savior that's in this room this morning is the same healer that's in this room this morning. Do not deny God the right to heal faith-believing people that would believe for a healing this morning in this house. I'm going to be as brief as I can this morning. Conroe, Texas was a city that was known as the Miracle City, and we also have a plaque on the town square that says the town that faith built. Now let me tell you about both of those incidents, because I believe God has his hand on the city of Conroe and the county of Montgomery County, and I believe we need to stir the wells of the Holy Spirit and see some Pentecostal harvests like we've never seen. Harvest meaning people getting saved and receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. As a lumber town in the early 1900s, there was lots of timber here. There was a sawmill right down the road here. When Pat and I came into Conroe in 1983, the walls of that sawmill were still standing. I talked with Rita Chandler. She said that building in that area is where we used to ride our bicycles when we were just little children. There was also a mill down at Grogan's Mill. Conroe was a massive town of lumber, plentiful in this area. The town of Conroe was growing strong, many businesses on the town square. But early one morning, a fire started in one of the downtown buildings. And before the end of the day, listen to this, 65 businesses had burned to the ground. 65 businesses had burned to the ground. The town was stymied. There's no hope for this town to recover. But the people bound themselves together and began to pray and began to ask God to help them. Before long, those 65 buildings were rebuilt and Conroe was back on its feet. And they labeled the town that faith built. I'm saying if it did it once, it can do it again. In the early 1930s, Conroe was in the throes of a depression that the rest of the United States was in. The world was in depression. Wall Street had failed. Banks were empty. There was no money flowing in Conroe, Texas. According to some of those people that were here during that period of time, the timber industry was on decline. There was not enough money to even hire men to cut timber, and the timber industry had already cut a massive amount of timber in the area. The school district didn't know if they would have enough funds to start the next year. 1932 is when it was. The only bank in Conroe was ready to default and close their doors. But a man named George was a believer that there was oil in this area, and he was a devout Christian man. He had heard that they had discovered oil west of Conroe, but something on the inside of him said that there was oil Conroe and east. He hawked every dime he had, sold every piece of property he had, and gathered enough money to lease 8,500 acres for east area. And on June the 5th, 1932, something major happened. Robert Meade, who's in this audience this morning, worked for a man named Russ Clayton. Russ Clayton said he was a boy on a Sunday morning. And the congregation was in there praying and calling on God because there was no money. There was not enough money hardly to buy food. No one could pay their bills. There just wasn't any money. And he said on that Sunday morning, the building began to shake. The building began to move. There was loud sounds going on the outside. And what had happened is George Strait had struck a short, slow well gusher, and oil became gushing out of that oil well. And the Conroe economy changed instantly, and George said, "This is a miracle city." And all the other towns were going into depression. Conroe immediately started having people come in, and the oil brought a massive amount of money to Conroe, Texas, a miracle city. I believe with all of my heart there's still a miracle city somewhere down here. If we're willing to drill, I believe there's a gusher from the Holy Spirit that's ready to come back up and give us another building shake. And I believe God wants to do it. He wants to start it today. I love to read the old-timey stories. This year, 2016, we celebrate the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. I won't take the time to tell you about the Azusa Street Revival. But I want to tell you the story of one of the women that was in the Azusa Street Revival. And her name was Florence Crawford. And Florence Crawford lived somewhere in the 1800s, like 1873. She was born. She died in 1936. But she was right in the whole mix of the Azusa Street Revival. According to her story, and I'm going to read some of her story, some of it I know by heart. But she was not raised in a Christian family. She was raised in a very ungodly family. She said she never saw a person in her family pray, never saw a person lay a hand on the Bible when she was a kid. She said one night she was at a dance hall, and it's about 1906, which Azusa Street started. And she said she was dancing and having a good time, and she heard this voice say, "Daughter, give me thine heart." Now, you have to remember that God only spoke in King James back in the 1900s. He's wised up now that we have so many different translations, but back in the 1900s, he only spoke in King James. And she said she didn't think anything about it. And she said it wasn't but just a few dances later she heard that same voice, "Daughter, give me thine heart." And she said she kind of looked around, didn't see anybody say anything, but it was getting louder. And the third time she said she heard that voice say, "Give me thine heart." And she said the only Christian woman that she knew, she made her way to her house the next day. And she said as she walked into the lady's house, the lady looked at her and said, "You are hungry for God." I would pray that some of you have that look on your face. I would say that if we've been born again, that's a step that you need to take. But even those of us that are born again need to seek God like we've never sought him before. We need to come to the place where we would say, "God, I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. I can't stand it without having more. And I'm going to get more from the living God because he has more to give me." Florence said that she was glad that there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because somebody told her that down on Azusa Street that something different was happening. She said she went down to the Azusa Street place and she looked around before she went in because she's fearful somebody would see her going in. She said when she got there, there was just two boards stretched across two chairs, and that was the altar. She said the floor was carpeted, but it was carpeted with sawdust. And she said she looked at the wall. I don't know if you know this, but that old barn where they were in had been burned, and on the walls was just char. Somebody said, "That don't sound like a very good tabernacle to me." She said, but what happened to her during that service made her feel like that when she walked out of there, she could have cared less who saw her walk out of there. Because she said she found something laying on the floor with tears flowing out of her eyes that she had never felt before in her life. She said that God began to power, put power through her. And he began to speak to her. She said, 3 days later, after living with Jesus alone, a greater hunger seized her, and she went down before God. He said he showed her that she must be baptized in the Holy Ghost and the fire. Now, this is written over 100 years ago, okay? She don't know all the modern lingo. The modern lingo don't match it. She must be baptized in the Holy Ghost and the fire. How many of you know you don't need the Holy Ghost without the fire, and you don't need the fire without the Holy Ghost? God said. God said, I'm baptizing you in the Holy Ghost and the fire. Hallelujah. She pleaded with the Lord. He said that God showed her temple was clean, that the Holy Ghost could come in only into a clean vessel, and that she pled with him. Oh God, she praised him. She sought for the power to tell her great things. She said, as she sat back down in the mission, the Holy Spirit fell from heaven and a rushing mighty wind filled the room. She said, this tongue that never spoke another word but English began to magnify and praise God in another language. And then she goes on. She said, I was speaking in Chinese, and it was the sweetest thing I ever heard in my life. The power of God shook my being, and watch this, rivers of joy and divine love flooded my soul. Oh, it was wonderful, but the greatest joy to my heart was that I had received the power to witness. The power to witness. Why do we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? God said it right off. He said that you will be witness unto me and my children from Jerusalem to Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is not to show off. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is to make Pentecost a true harvest, where you see souls saved by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Spirit. She said this, my greatest joy, the power to witness as I received the baptism. And she went a little further. I was a wreck in my physical body. She said, I never once thought about the healing of my body until God baptized me in the Holy Spirit and the fire. I had worn glasses, she said, all my life. 3 attacks of spinal meningitis early in my life had left my head and my eyes so afflicted that I could not leave the glasses off. I went to the mission that afternoon and I told what wonderful things the Lord had done for me and had them pray. And the healing power of the Son of God flowed through my eyes and my eyes were made perfect. Hallelujah. She went on. I had lung trouble for years, had to live in Southern California for my health, and God healed me of that. I was thin, diseased, broken down in every part of my body, and when I had paid the full price and simply childlike faith prayed that I might get my health, it came back, and he witnessed to me in this world, and the healing streams began to flow in my body, and she was healed by the power of God. As she lay on her bed at night, she said, I would open my soul to God and every avenue of my life to the heavenly stream that seemed to flow through every hour of my being. And while I was awake, I would renew my consecration and tell God he knew my heart and knew that my life was in his hand and that all I had or ever expected to have was at his disposal. Everything that I had given him in all the deep consecrations that he had demanded of me when I was seeking my sanctification and baptism in the Holy Ghost was all on the altar and was his. And what he gave me was not mine, but only lent to me. It was his. He said, when she was a girl, she said, when I was a girl, I was thrown from a carriage and my head hit a root. And she said, I was knocked out for weeks. And she said, I could not walk except with a harness where my parents would have to hold me to walk. And she said, metal plates was put in my head, and she did not walk for 11 years. God instantly healed me, she said. I walked 23 blocks that night, leaping and praising God and having praised God and given him glory for the many years that I was serving him. The healing of my body was complete. An internal trouble, the doctor said, could only be cured unless I was operated on, was perfectly healed by the living God. Once diseased from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I was made sound and well through the blood of Jesus. Christ of Calvary touched my body and made me whole. Oh, how I praise him, she said. Oh, how I worship him, she said. To finish that story, she took what God had given her and went to Portland, Oregon, and she started a movement called the Apostolic Faith Mission that still goes on today. I'm telling you, you don't have to start out in the preacher's house. You can start out by a person who is just in sin. You can start out by a person whose body is wrecked with disease and infirmities and accidents that have happened. But I've got a Jesus that sits on a throne. He is able to save. He is able to heal. He is able to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And today, as this service goes on, and notice, we did not plan a 12 o'clock break. So if you need to go to work, don't lose your job. But if they'll let you off until we're through, stay. If you have to go, you can go. But I'm telling you, we are in for what God is doing in this pouring day. Probably there's people who are going to be healed in this place today. Some of you may not be born again. And you're going to be born again. Some of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Hello. Yes, the words of the habits, the praises of his people. He's here. And when he's here, nothing's impossible. Amen. Amen. Yes. Your anointing, God. That's what we need. Your manifest presence is here. So we thank you, Lord. This is one I want you to sing along after you hear it. Sing along with us.
Just let it fall on me. My heart is filled. Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth, and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is it a person down the street you know so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
I dare not move past acknowledging my husband. I do what I do because of him. When the Lord helped me out a little bit, guys, when the Lord called me to ministry, he said that the thing that he called me to do, that I would do it through my husband. And when he said that, I kept thinking that my husband was going to preach. So I would get so frustrated because he wasn't making any steps to try to preach. And so I'm like going, I could feel this thing trying to well up on the inside of me. And so I'm waiting on this cat here to go on and start doing his thing so that he could go ahead and give me permission to be able to preach. You know, like he would preach first, and then he would say, I'd like to welcome my wife to the platform, and then she's going to preach today. And boy, this cat, I tell you what, that was not the assignment on his life. But when I tell you that what the Lord said, that what he called me to do, that I would do it through him, that's exactly true. What Joe has done for the past, at the Father's house for 16 years. But even before that, my husband parted the waters for me. He is the one that would make a way for me to be able to go through. You'll see me ministering a lot of times, and he'll be praying for me. And so I want to just give one more just big old rousing applause for my husband, Joe Johnson. We just take a second, amen, and I just kind of set the atmosphere for me. Is that okay? Hallelujah, Lord God. Is that all right? So we're just going to, if you just, you don't even have to stand up. If you'll just open up, amen, and just begin to worship God right where you are. Hallelujah, Lord God. Brother BJ, I thank you, amen, for right at the very beginning, amen. You used a portion of my scriptures, and Pastor Maddox got the rest. And so we're just going to be able to, we're going to go in, but I thank you because you talked about the fire. You talked about the presence of the glory of God falling in this place. And that's exactly what God is desiring to do. There is an outpouring that is for this place, for this moment. Amen. Can somebody say this moment? Could somebody say it again? Say for this moment. Could you say it like you mean it? Say for this moment. There is a presence of transformation, hallelujah, Lord God, that is in this house. Hallelujah, Lord God, for those that are thirsty for God to move in their life. There is a presence of transformation that will take you from your old self and birth you out into a new place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. And that is exactly what God is desiring to do. God wants to take us from glory to glory. Hallelujah, Lord God. Somebody would say, I'm all right with Jesus. Well, praise God, I'm glad you're all right. He's going to make you a little bit better. Is that all right? He's going to put dancing back in your feet. Is that all right? He's going to put a shout down in the depths of you. Is that all right? I know because of life, we have all gone through some things. Is there anybody that's gone through some stuff? Hallelujah, Jesus. You've been through some things. You've had some challenges in your life. As a matter of fact, when I talk about dancing, you'd be the first one to jump up and give a shout. Hallelujah, Lord God. But because of the things that you have gone through, the things that you have endured, it seems like that your dancing, hallelujah, Lord God, has just kind of settled in. It seems like your shout has become a little bit quieter, because it seems like when you were rejoicing, that's when you were coming up against the greatest amount of fire from the enemy. But the Lord is saying in this house today, my children, go ahead and shout. My children, go ahead and rejoice. My children, go ahead and magnify the Lord. The same God that was your God, hallelujah, when you started this journey, he's the same one today. The one that escorted you from all of your struggles, all of the things in which you have endured in this life, he is there. Last night as I was prepping, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that there were going to be people in the house that truly needed to be healed in their natural bodies. Oh, Jesus. Can I just come off script and just... My heart is just pounding so fast. And it is not because I'm nervous. It is because I can sense, hallelujah, Lord God, the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God, a welling up of the waters of the Holy Ghost just rising. You know, like in Ezekiel, hallelujah, Lord God, I can feel it coming. It's rising up. I got to come off of here. So I can come down here. Can you see me if I come? A welling. Hallelujah, Lord God. Would you just help me just start worshiping God for a minute? And for those of you that are waiting on me to give you my scripture, I'm going to start in Acts 1. So if that make you feel like I'm about to preach, that'll help you out right there. But hallelujah, Jesus, can we just hang out right here just for a second? Because let me tell you, the Lord told me, he said that there were some people here. There was someone that was here today, and you had like a, it's like you have fluttering in your heart. It's like you, regular heartbeat, like you have this, like a flutter. It just continued to go on and on. And as a matter of fact, you've been nervous about it because you're unsure, and you've gone to the doctor, and it still hasn't, subsided. And the Lord wants you to know today that he is your healer, that he is your deliverer, and that he's going to move on your behalf. Now, you don't have to say it, because I don't have to believe it, because I'm not a prophet, but I know the voice of the Lord when I hear it. So I want to tell you, don't you be afraid. And I know you're in the house. And so if you just slip your hand up right where you are, it's like an irregular heartbeat. Hallelujah, Jesus. Slip it up so I can see you. That's you. Glory to God. That's you over there. If you'll just stand up right where you are, you don't have to come to the altar, but stand up right where you are and lay hands on your own chest and watch the presence of the Lord begin to move. And God says that you'll live and you're not going to die. And hallelujah, we rebuke the report of the doctors and we stand on the report of the Lord. And is that all right? Hallelujah. Put your hand on your own heart and begin to declare and decree that I am healed. And hallelujah, Lord God. And I come against every spirit that tells you that God can do nothing about your situation. Before I took the assignment here in Texas, I had a heart issue with my own heart, and the Lord just brought that back to my remembrance, and I was supposed to have heart valve replacement, and because my heart valves were deteriorating, I was standing in the examining room. Is that right? That sounded like it was crazy when it came out. I was standing in the examining room. There you go. And I was leaning back up against the guardian as I was standing there. And I'm saying, Lord God, I trust you, Lord, in this thing. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, he said, Jesus. He said, Jesus. He said, what are you doing? He said, what are you doing? When he was saying, what are you doing? What he was saying to me is, what does the word say about your situation? I said, oh yeah, God, your word says that by your stripes, Lord God, that we were healed. So I was supposed to leave. I was actually in the neurologist's office because I have had multiple strokes. Tell your neighbor, say multiple. She's had multiple strokes. Brava Fataya. But I serve a healer. Is that all right? Kiandala Boko Sotora Sasai. Robo see Jesus. And so I was in the neurologist's office waiting to go see the oncologist. Well, then from there to see the neurologist. Is that all? I mean, I was going to see the kidney doctor. What is it? The nephrologist. Is that all right? And so when I came up off the table, Brother BJ, the Lord came in. Hallelujah. It was my doctor, but the Lord came in. Is that all right? And they told me, said, you know what? You don't have to go and see anybody else. And that was it. I went and had another issue that happened, and it put me back in the hospital again. And when they started running all of the tests that they had run before, are you listening to me in here? Glory to God. Everything that was wrong, is somebody listening to me? I was going to see a... I was going to see, hallelujah, the oncologist every... You're in here. Just start worshiping right where you are. Because you're in here. See, this is the thing, is that the way that you came through the doors, God has no intention of allowing you to leave out of the doors the same way you came in. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying transformation. Not just for today, but for the rest of your life. So the doctor told me, he says that your heart valves are deteriorating. And so we're going to try to monitor to see how fast, and that will determine how fast we need to do the heart valve replacement. Lord, I call down all forms of the flesh. Lord God, let me say nothing that's not you. Let me speak, Lord God, only what you're saying. Lord God, I thank you. Can I just talk to a few of you in here right quick before I go up here? You're in some hopeless situations, and you've not shared it with everybody else, but your back is up against the wall. There are circumstances with your finances. There are circumstances with your family. See, and somebody would say, well, you know, you throw a rock at them, you hit everybody, a whole bunch of people with that one. But you know that your situation is critical. I'm not just talking about the one, hallelujah, Lord God, you've not been a good steward, hallelujah, and this is where you ended up. You have been faithful, your back is up against the wall, and you're going through, and I know you're in the house. He won't let me leave, hallelujah, Lord God, because you're about to give up. I want you to let go. I don't want you to think that I don't care about what's going on with you, and if that's you in the house, overwhelming outpouring is your destiny. People are supposed to know that you're tucked back in this nook, and so that they can come running into this place and they can find, hallelujah, Lord God, the only one that can do anything about their situation. Are you listening to me? But we can't get it done by doing church. We got to do it at his feet. We got to do it by our head just pressed to his chest, getting in rhythm with what God is doing. Somebody in the building shout, get in rhythm with God. Get in rhythm. Somebody say it again. Say, get in rhythm with God. Now, for those of you that just stood up, if you just began to slip your hands in the air, just slip your hands in the air. Just close your eyes, because I don't have anything for you. God does. And began to tell him what it is that's really going on in your situation. I hear somebody, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, hear me, if you'll just hear me, if you'll just hear me. See, he's been trying to give you instructions, but you keep getting yourself. He's been trying to give you instructions, but you're still trying to order your own steps. He's been trying to give you instructions, but you're still trying to go in the direction of which you think is right. And the Lord is saying, in this place, that I will lead you and I will guide you. Hallelujah. That is the assignment of the Holy Spirit to us, and we have bypassed what the Holy Spirit is trying to say, because it looks like this is what I'm supposed to do. This feels like what I'm supposed to do. And God is saying, if you'll just wait, just wait, just wait, just wait, just wait, just wait. You'll just wait on me. You'll just wait on me. Can I just say what I'm feeling right now? Hallelujah. What I'm hearing. Can I just, what I'm hearing, not what I'm feeling, but can I just say what I'm hearing? Hallelujah, Lord God. The Spirit of the Lord just said, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just trust me. Look at your neighbor. Just tell him, all you got to do is just trust him. I know you don't know what to do, but all you got to do is just trust. I know you don't know how to do it, but if you'll just, I know you don't know how you're going to work this thing out, but if you'll just try, I know you don't know, hallelujah, what's coming over the hill, but if you'll just trust me, if you'll just trust me, because there's power in this room. There's power in this room. There's power. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes up here. And hallelujah, Lord God. Now just hang on 1 second for me. Whenever you feel like sitting down, you sit down. Would you just stay and bask in his presence? Whenever you feel like that you have met with the Lord, then you sit. But don't feel intimidated because I'm standing up here. Pastor Maddox, he began by giving history Conra. And yesterday, I was before the Lord, and you have to give me a pause and stuff. It's not that I don't know what I'm doing. I'm listening and trying to talk at the same time. I'm listening. I'm trying to talk. I'm not going to be before you long, but I need for you to hear me. You are in a season to where God wants you to know who you are. Who you are. Who you are in the scheme of things. When I first came to First Assembly, I'm a Baptist child. My grandfather pastored the church that I grew up in as a child. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit while I was there, evidence speaking in tongues. And I had no one to guide me or to direct me and what I was to do with that. Because not only was I speaking in tongues, but I could hear God, and I was interpreting, and I needed someone to direct me. And so early one morning, I was listening to the radio, and I heard Pastor Maddox preaching, and I decided that I would come and I would pay the church. And this was almost 26, 27 years ago. I walked through the door of that place, and I was weeping in the presence of the Lord for at least 2 years. Not because of just things that were going on in my life, but I was weeping because I had encountered a presence that I had never encountered before. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. I had encountered something. I had encountered the sweetness of the glory of God. go and just walk up in it. I could have literally put it on. It was there. When I get out of my car, I find my step picking up a little bit more because I wanted to get in there to where the presence of the Lord is. Where the presence of the Lord is. In the book of Acts, it says that when the Holy Spirit had come, when it had fully come, you hear Mike? When it had fully come, it says that he had come to give us power to be witnesses. We don't have to read it again. He did it. Power to be witnesses. But we have forgotten about the power. We have forgotten about the purpose of the power. We have forgotten about the glory and the anointing of God. Not just the words. I'm talking about how you first felt when you encountered God for the first time and he blew your mind away. Away. And we have learned how to do church. And it looked like God is there. And many times he's not there. It's just us. Get a mind. It's just us. Because we are on like a pilot, doing what we know to do or what we have experienced before. And then if we're not doing that, we're so afraid of when God gets ready to move because we have seen so much that they have known it is not real that we don't want any part of it. So we end up missing out on what God has for us now. Right now, before I came to the Assemblies of God, I didn't know about, of course, not the speaking in tongues and then receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about the laying on of hands. And of course, I did not know that angels will come and encounter services with you. I had no idea. But when I came in, I began to experience those things. And I'm telling you, this day is not just about us speaking in tongues again, but old tongues. It is about us being revived, renewed in the presence of the Lord so that God can come in and do what he desires to do. When the presence of the Lord becomes common to you, there's something wrong. When you can no longer wait on God to move, you're too busy. When you are no longer interested in what God is doing new or can't wait on him to do what he's going to do next, something is wrong. When you've given up on miracles and signs and wonders, you have given up in a place where God desires to move and magnify himself. And God is saying, give me my place back. It's a season that God wants to escort us back into where the wailing women are necessary and the praying men, the mighty men of valor will show up and draw a line in the sand and say, this is the world and this belongs to God. And the two won't mingle. Where are you, Zion? Where are you? Where are you? This is the day that when before services even start, you don't need the praise and worship team. You need godly men and women at the altar, tilling up the ground so that God can come in and do what he wants to do. Where are we? Where are we? We're not there because it's weird. We're not there because it's strange. Have you ever read about Jesus and his workings? Have you ever read about him doing stuff that just looked like running a mill? Nothing that he did, and we were followers of Christ, nothing that he did was run of the mill. Nothing that he did was unstrange to us because we had never seen it. I mean, when we start talking about healing and then he's going to dip his hand in mud and spit on it, that's a little strange. If you came up to the altar, I spit in my hand, but it's going to all be all right. Now, rub it on your eyes. As a matter of fact, you probably back up. I don't want any of that. It doesn't require all of that. Really? What did it say? That that it ended. It ended when we started trying to do church instead of doing Jesus. It ended when we got on our own agenda instead of on God's agenda. It ended when it was no longer his assignment. It became my assignment. And God is saying, if you'll just make room for me, I will move. I will move. I will move in your sons and daughters. I will move. I will move in your workplace. I will move. I will move in your marriage. I will move. I'm still the healer. Alpha and Omega I am. That's the God that we serve. And the Holy Spirit has come so that we can emulate our God by the inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. We need a power release. We need to go back. We need to go back to the old bedrock of relationship with God. I mean, I'm telling you, where we weren't afraid of looking uncool, or where we weren't afraid, hallelujah, Lord God, of looking like we're doing too much in the presence of the Lord. As a matter of fact, normally, like in services, I'll tell people, I say, what you need to do is do a roll check and make sure that somebody's not on your roll that's not willing to go in the presence of the Lord with you. Why would you say do a roll check, Pastor? Like you have to do a roll check. But sometimes some people came because they don't want to get a phone call from the preacher. But others came because they're thirsting after righteousness. I want to ask you the question. Who are you today? Why are you in the house of God today? Because if you're here today for him to move for you, he will. If you're here today for an outpouring of his glory, he'll pour it out. Let me ask you the question again. Why are you here? Why are you here? I want to just go back. And Sharita, would you please read for me? If you have it, just turn to Acts chapter 1. Go ahead and read, Sharita, when you get there.
There's in my form book, Theophilus, uh-huh. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, uh-huh. He presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God.
Stop. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, get ready. God is showing you himself. Get ready. I'm getting ready to equip you for a new season and a new move. Somebody shout, get ready.
Get ready.
Keep going.
On one occasion, while he was eating with them,
somebody shout, wait. God's getting ready to some way.
Which you have heard me speak about.
Uh-huh.
For John baptized with water.
Uh-huh.
But in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Keep going.
Then they gathered around him and asked him.
Keep going.
Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?
Keep going.
He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.
Keep going.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you.
Stop. Power. And you shall receive power. Power. You shall receive power. The importance of us speaking in tongues or moving in the presence of the Holy Spirit or even being filled with it is not so we can roll on the carpet. It is not so we can spit on each other. It is not so we can jump up and down. It is so that we will have power. In this season, we need power. There are things that are going on in this world that if we do not have power, we will be overtaken. If you're wondering what's going on with the children, it is because we are operating without power. I'm telling you what I think is right instead of telling you what I know the Holy Spirit is saying is right. Somebody say power. See, when you start saying power, power comes in and it helps you to make right decisions. Power comes in and it helps you to be able to guide your family. Power comes in and it helps you to be a great authority over the places where God has placed you. You need power. Somebody say, give me power, God. See, we don't want all that weird, strange stuff, amen? We don't want to operate and look all strange. We just want to do it real cool. But let me tell you something. When something comes in and invades you, can we say invade? I'm not talking about just kindly comes in and says, is it all right? Let me just kind of hang out here with you. No, the Holy Spirit's not like that. I know you heard he's a gentleman. But he must have forgot that when he grabbed hold of me. He must have forgot that when I start climbing over chairs, going to the back and control myself, he just completely forgot. Somebody said, no, it's you. No, I would never, ever do that. I never would do that on my own. But it's power. You need power. Power when your daughters and your sons come to you and say, I feel like that I'm homosexual. Not the spirit of get out of my house. You don't need that. You need power. You need power to where you can say, come up here and let me lay hands on you and let me speak to this thing that's got you sideways. That power, power, power. Not to treat them like they're some kind of alien or something. You need power so you can deal with that thing. When your husband walks through the door and tells you, baby, I had an affair. Not to just give him the boot, amen, but you have power. I need to speak to that Jezebel spirit that's trying to come up in my house and run my situation. Power, power, power. When you go in on your job and find out your coworkers have been stealing from you. Instead of, amen, some of them don't deserve to be fired. Some just need to be prayed for.
Come on.
Power. 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 There are situations that happen that just require power. I remember one time my husband and I, we were in Jacksonville, Florida. He was in an academy for federal law enforcement, and I was down there with him, and our middle daughter had just taken some vaccinations, and she started spitting up blood. Now, she was not with us. She was at home with her grandmother. And so they called us. As a matter of fact, the police department, they found out where we were, and so they called us, and one of the other police officer's wife said, you guys need to get back. Your daughter is spitting up blood. As she sucked on the bottle, blood would go back into the bottle. Now, I'm in Jacksonville. I'm not in Montgomery. And my daughter is in trouble. Well, let me tell you something. The word of the Lord says that the God that we serve, that he is a healer, and that I don't have to be there, but I can send forth the word, and it'll accomplish that thing. But see, if you don't have any power, you can't operate like that. What you'll do is you'll end up in a frenzy, and you'll take off running down the highway and try to make it there. And if you're not, if somebody's not praying with power, the circumstance can end up in a way that is not one that we're desiring. You could lose the seat. Let me tell you what we did. Because we have power. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about power. I remember that when we found that out, I told him, I said, what is it? And, you know, of course, because it's my child, you know, and I'm a mother. At first, I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, what are we going to do? And I wanted to start crying. But immediately, the Holy Spirit, somebody say the Holy Spirit, grabbed hold of me and began to instruct us on what to do in that moment. That began to speak over and over. Let's show you what you do. Now, I'm not saying we can't roll and jump and run, but I'm saying that is not the primary reason why we are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's some demons that need to be put to flight. Let me tell you something. You have the authority to draw a line in the sand, and that demon that is tormenting your family, that demon that is on your job, that demon that shows up in your church, glory to God, you have the power to put that devil packing. And so she's bleeding. And so the Lord, he can't speak to me. He's like, by the time you get home, she could be dead. Pray. I said, okay. Pray. Somebody said, well, I've already been praying. And you aim that thing. And then you fire. And then you fire. It's not in it at all. Whatever, Lord. And we just need you. No, God, the enemy's hand is watching. And Lord, your word says that by his stripes we will be. And anything that's coming to me back, I'm pulling of power. But what happens when it doesn't happen when we pray? It doesn't mean we're any less powerful. I am down here visiting my husband. We have not seen each other in 6 weeks, and I need to see this man. And so I need for you to get your hands off my child. And I began to lay and cry, and then when I didn't know what else to say, I started praying. See, if you knew you were powerful, when you run out of words, you don't know what to say, you'll automatically just click over into tongues. See, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is intelligent, and he will pray for you. He will lead you and guide you in the direction in which you ought to go. Oh, my God. And so I got angry, and then I got up, and then I left where I was praying because I knew my child was going to be all right. The phone rang. I told her, I said, we're not coming home. I'm not coming home. And I know to the lady that heard me say that, she thought I was the most uncaring mother. But let me tell you something. I can't do more than Jesus can do. And so what I did was, the word says to cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. See, if you really believe what he says, you grab hold of the word, and then you begin to execute the word, you begin to see the manifestation of the word. Somebody shout manifestation. No, I said shout manifestation.
Manifestation.
Yeah, that's what you're waiting on. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for manifestation. So then, because I knew I had power and he had touched my child and my child was all right, I got up and I started walking the aisles and I went into the restroom and I was turning around in there and I could envision every hospital bed with children, Texas children, where my child was, where there was a sick baby there. And I went in for him. I began to pray and bind up the enemy and call those things that be not as though they were, because the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, Lord God, can move, glory to God, all the way from Jacksonville straight up into Houston. When you don't know who you are, you wait on things to happen. You wait on situations to work out. You wait on someone to come and bring your answer. You wait on things to straighten out. You wait. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to wait on the Lord, but we wait. And the reason why we wait is because we don't know what to do. When you know the one who knows what to do, and you're willing to stand on the word, you will see a manifestation like none other. Like none other. Go ahead and reach me.
And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem.
Stop. And you will be my witnesses. See, he wants you to be a witness. He don't want you just speaking in tongues where no one understands what's going on. He wants you to be a witness. He wants when people, how many of you still on your jobs, people used to come to you and ask you to pray, but they stopped. They stopped because now it's just about your job and not you being a witness. How many of you in your neighborhood, people used to come to your door and ask you to pray? Would you pray for me and pray for my children? But it's kind of dialed back a little bit. Because you know what? We spend more time complaining and griping than we do magnifying and glorifying God. See, God, he says, I want to be magnified in everything that you do. I want to show up mighty and powerful. I want to do that for you. There are many of you that you are in trouble right now in your emotions. And the Lord showed me that last night. As a matter of fact, you feel like, you know what, you're slipping, just like you can't hold on. There's nothing left. And God is saying, I've given you power. I've given you power. Sister, he's given you power. As a matter of fact, this is kind of off key. If you just stand up right where you are, hallelujah, Lord God, and just slip your hands in the air. And just take a fresh streak. I know it's been hard. See, I don't know at the level that you know, because I don't know what it's like to lose a mate, but I do know God, and I know what it's like to have loss. But ask him for a fresh streak. And you don't have to sit down because I'm going to keep on preaching, but you drink. Ignore everybody in the room. And you get a fresh streak.
Hallelujah.
You shouldn't miss him. But you were meant to live. Deabosi, not exist, live. I speak life over you. I speak life. Ask the Lord for fresh strength. right there just asking for his strength. See, people forget and they move on. When you're left there standing there and your children are trying to get it with you, but you're the one that needs the fresh strength. Just give me a fresh strength. Go ahead, Sharita.
And in all Judea and Samaria,
in all of the earth, God wants me to be a witness. I'm about coming to my end. But I want to share something with you that I think is vital. To come into the presence of the Lord, it takes time. It's not something we shoot through in order to get it. I mean, really, a full drink. And God is desiring to transform a place that we've not experienced before. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost. It's going to cost. It's going to help you out. Probably before my oldest daughter is listening to, she wanted to dance in the center. I was all right. I had a vision, an open vision in the womb before she was a year before she was consumed. A conceit. I moved. I actually thought she could not be mine because she didn't look like me. Couldn't be anything like what I have or anything like that. Just lived and they all just look alike. So it's Hispanic to me. It's just like all of my kids. Kind of have a favorite. They don't look like me. And this one looks like that, looks like that, and that one looks like daddy, looks like daddy. And then they got to me. Okay. I said, yeah, and nobody like me. All right. I was in a search. Very much like them. It was over a building. Was Jason, brother. Couldn't have started out of jail. And Brother Crabtree came. How many of y'all know Brother Crabtree? Oh, babies, y'all don't know Brother Crabtree. I don't say to here, no, Brother Crabtree. that's the first vision that I had.
morning and he was laying on the couch. I was talking about a year later. We were laying on the couch. I walked by in the living room. I walked by and I looked at him laying on the couch. And there it was, that baby that I had in the womb. What God was doing was that he was trying to teach me. And there was another room that we're to operate in. So he is the whole woman that is for us into that place. And that is what us operating the power of God is supposed to look like. And from that place, God permitted us in ministry to go forth and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We have seen blind eyes open. We have seen ears of unpopped. We have seen someone showed up in our church one day with a cast on their leg. And when I saw, I was afraid. And I'm like, I'm not that one.
Walking like this.
sit on my knees. I keep trying to get out of it. Trying to go another way, but I can't. I'm just going to have to fall over. I'm just trying to dump it up.
Doesn't help it. If you'll be real with God, you'll be real. What do you need for God? I'll tell you what he needs for you. You should be able to sell out. I all want to. I just want to tell out to God. He wants
to see
you out. Of it kind of coming and going, but you can't come to a place to where you're dwelling there. I'm going to tell you this. The Lord has shown me this house full. Every seat full, but runs all the way into the back of the gym. The Lord showed me your outreach outside and people that didn't even know you were here finding out that you are here and coming to drink from the fountain which you serve. And the Lord today is saying, I need for you to move. I need you to open and allow me to enter in and not be intelligent. But you have no idea what he is doing. There's those of you, you are mighty and you don't even know that you are. And God is desiring to anoint you today for a new level in his presence. I know that you think some of that stuff is kind of weird and it doesn't take all of that. But it does. And God is tired of you running and he's tired of this house living beneath what he has for you. Because there is a great call that is on this ministry. And God is ready to unplug it so it can flow as he desires for it to flow. The leader in this house, I'm going to ask you to come up here. If you're a leader, I'm going to ask you in any area, I'm going to ask that you come.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is the person down the street you know so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.